Damon Runyon once paraphrased Ecclesiastes thusly, "The race is not always to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but that's the way to bet." A less clever aphorism goes like this: put up or shut up. And that's just what Justin Wolfers did. Wolfers is a University of Pennsylvania researcher who last year co-authored a study on racial bias among basketball referees. The study wound up on the front page of the New York Times. It greatly angered the NBA and was criticized by current and former coaches, players, and refs. But just because it was criticized doesn't mean it was wrong. So Wolfers, in a recent study, has added to last year's findings. He has said, "Not only was I right that there is a racial bias among refs, but if you went to Las Vegas armed with that fact, you would have wound up making a lot of money." He put up. Thankfully, Wolfers has chosen not to shut up. He is with me now. Thank you for joining us, Justin.
Mike, it's a pleasure, mate.
So the original study, in a nutshell, found that over the course of an NBA season, a white referee will wind up calling more fouls on a black player than a black ref would have, and a black ref would wind up calling more fouls on a white player than a white ref would have. Am I getting that right?
You're getting that right, and not only do we find an effect then on foul calling, but beyond that, this affects the outcome of a fair number of games over the course of a season.
And so it's subtle, and it's probably subconscious, although you don't talk about motivation, but it's definitely demonstrable?
It's absolutely demonstrable, where by that I mean it's in the data, and you do have to look pretty hard, and so it's no surprise that the average fan may not see it. You know, maybe it's half a foul per player per game, but it's systematic enough, and we have enough data from enough seasons that it's definitely there.
And so do you know how many wins that might translate to over the course of a season?
So our estimate is that the outcome of up to 3% of all games would have been different with a different refereeing crew.
So it's significant.
Yes. When you talk to a sports fan, some people think that, you know, 3% is not a lot. Some feel outraged that even that many games could be affected by something so arbitrary. But when you talk to team owners, if you could guarantee them another 3% of wins, they will tell you directly that's worth millions of dollars to them.
I am always interested where researchers find their inspiration. How do you even think of asking that question, that is the NBA refereeing corps racially biased? How do you think of that?
The old way we used to think about discrimination was that, you know, one group hated another, and that may have been an adequate way of describing the U.S. 50 or even 100 years ago. That's decreasingly accurate. People really, I think, do try for sort of racial understanding, but it may be that there are implicit biases that still color the way we look at the world around us. And psychologists have some very interesting laboratory experiments that are very suggestive, but we thought it'd be interesting to find some real-world evidence to see if this was the case. And we figured that it would be most convincing to go to the last place on Earth where you would expect to find a bias like this. These guys, being the referees, are incredibly highly trained, incredibly professional, and absolutely committed to making no errors. And so if we find a bias there, I think it really does make you wonder about the extent to which policemen or judges or teachers or shopkeepers or any other of our various social interactions may also be colored by race.
And in fact, the NBA, widely seen as perhaps the most progressive sports league on the issue of race, more black players, more black coaches, more black owners than other professional sports leagues.
Absolutely. And that's the reason that, as social scientists, it makes such an interesting laboratory for us. It's also one of the reasons we were somewhat disappointed with the NBA's response of denying the issue. I think a perfectly valid response from the NBA would have been to acknowledge that we find this bias and to suggest, and I think this is probably true, that even if we find bias in the NBA, that's not saying the NBA is more biased than other employers. And I suspect it's probably much less biased.
So this iteration, I have to say, is kind of genius. You said, "We think we're correct. We know we're correct. In fact, we'll prove it in Las Vegas." How do you think of that?
Well, it's a pretty natural thing for economists to think about markets. And what this tells us is you could have made money betting based on this bias, which is to say this bias is not only pervasive, it's also something that's not very well understood. Because there's lots of other things. For instance, we know in basketball home teams win more often than away teams. You can't win money in Las Vegas always betting on home teams,
right?
Because the market understands that.
You know that, and I know that, and the guy making the point spread knows that. And what the point spread is when a favorite plays an underdog, Las Vegas odd makers give the underdog some bonus points to sort of even things out. They make it so that when a good team plays a bad team, you add all these extra bonus points to the bad team. Then you decide, then the bettor has to decide who he's going to put his money on. But things like long road streaks and injuries and home and away and really almost everything is factored into the point spread.
Yeah, the point spread is a very accurate forecast. I actually teach a class at Wharton in which we analyze sports betting markets. And for instance, when I said home teams win more often, that means that away teams usually get a bigger point spread. And so the thing that we do in this study is we say, does the point spread take account of the fact that if your team is of the same, is largely of the same race as the refereeing crew, you're likely to have less fouls called against you and be more likely to win the game? And the odds makers were also quite unaware of this bias, suggesting that potentially you could go to Las Vegas and make some money exploiting this fairly subtle bias.
What percentage of your bets, if you were betting with this knowledge, what percentage would you have won?
It depends exactly how you execute the strategy. What I would recommend doing is waiting for those subset of games where there's one team very strongly of the same race as the referee and the other team very strongly of the opposite race. And if you wait often enough, we think you could win maybe 54-55% of those bets.
So basically you're betting the Utah Jazz a lot.
That's actually a bit what it looks like in the data, absolutely.
And so you're waiting for, I mean, basically you're waiting for an all-white refereeing crew, because there are three refs. When an all-white crew works a Jazz game, bet on the Jazz.
Yes, and when it's an all-black refereeing crew, bet against the Jazz.
Bet against the Jazz. That's pretty interesting. Do you think that if the NBA had a different attitude and they said, you know what, you're right, do you think there's actually anything they could do to try to address it? Or is it just so subtle and so ingrained that they have to live with some small version of racial bias?
Well, one of the things I would love to do is to work with the NBA on this. And so there are certain tests that we can do. There's something called the implicit association test to try and diagnose the extent to which different people do suffer these biases. And it would be absolutely fascinating to administer that test to NBA referees and see if that test could help predict which referees are biased. If so, you might imagine that this would change who it is you would want on the court. There's also some evidence, for instance, that mixed-race refereeing crews may do a somewhat better job than either all-black or all-white crews, that somehow just having a mixed-race crew acts as a bit of a discipline on this. And so I think there's definitely something that can be done. I'm not sure that the most important issue in the world is race in basketball, but I think it's an important laboratory within which we could learn a lot that would help other employers elsewhere.
Justin Wolfers is an assistant professor of business and public policy at the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School. Thank you, Justin.
Thanks. This is fun.
Hey, stay with us. Coming up on The Big Show, the BPP Jukebox. We'll put a quarter in, and we'll get out a little Kate Nash. Also, the most emailed, most read stories on the internet. This is the BPP from NPR News.